And that was a lie. It was a lie the media knew they were lying about because Trump's whole campaign staff, they were all people that were working on Project 2025. They all wanted to do this. They named Trump like over 100 times in the book they wrote about their agenda and how they were going to enact it. And this is something that is not great. It's really bad that our media kid-gloved Trump through all of this stuff. They covered up his economic illiteracy. They covered up his actual plans once he won the presidency. And the final thing that they covered up was the fact that the man is unhealthy. And this is something that is egregious. Trump just posted on social media that Biden was behind the FBI filling the crowd on January 6th with protesters that were on under the government's payroll trying to do bad things to attack people and beat up cops and, I don't know, make it so Biden doesn't win the election. I've never understood that part of the January 6th conspiracy theory was that Biden won. The certification of his election was just a formality. It is just paperwork that the government has to go through to adjudicate that the right person has won the election and we're all good with it. I remember back in the day, Alex Jones had come up with this great lie that they were quote unquote close to getting Mike Pence to agree to a 10-day extension, that they were going to quote unquote send back electors and then do an investigation in a few states. And they just wanted a few days. They just wanted 10 days to make sure that all the I's were dotted and all the T's were crossed. And if they were, then they would totally have certified the election on the 16th and Biden would have been sworn in on the 20th. But of course, in the Alex Jones conspiracy world, that 10-day extension would have uncovered rampant Democrat voter fraud and exposed everything and thrown the election to Trump. The only problem with Alex Jones' story there is it's not true in the slightest. There was no indications from anyone that anyone was going to do any such thing. And the Constitution is very clear about the fact that all the president of this House, or which is Pence, and president of the Senate, I misspoke there, but the person in charge of handling that situation, their job is literally to open envelopes. It is their only power that is vested in them in the Constitution by that amendment, which is, I believe, the 12th Amendment. I'm going to look this up right now. It's very, this is sparkling podcasting. But basically, if you don't know the story, I'll get through this as quickly as possible, is that there was the election between Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, the rematch. Adams wins the first fight. They go it again. And Jefferson wins the second one. But back then, you made two votes. One, and each of your votes got put into the pot. And whoever got the most votes won the presidency. Whoever got the second most votes won the vice presidency. And that's what led to Adams being president and having a vice president who hated him in Jefferson. So we have round two, and the team Jefferson is all in on Jefferson winning the presidency. And they had Aaron Burr as their vice president, and because they didn't want to have the same situation with a reverse. They didn't want it to now be Jefferson as president and Adams as vice president, because having a vice president you hate sucks. And if your president dies, now the opposition party takes the presidency. So that's stupid. So they planned on doing a thing. And the thing was that Burr was going to get one less vote than Jefferson. And we have the election, and no one forgets to vote against Burr. No one forgets to do the throwaway vote. So Burr and Jefferson tie for the presidency, and the Democrat Republicans look at Burr and they say, well, look, Burr, well, you were obviously the guy that was supposed to be vice president. Jefferson's our boy. Please stand down. At which point Burr says, no, I will not stand down. I have received exactly as many electoral votes for president as Jefferson has. I have every right to claim the presidency. Pound sand. And then there's a big to-do, blah, blah, blah. And the next thing you know, Jefferson does end up becoming president. They change the Electoral College to now have votes exclusively for president, exclusively for vice president. That's how it's been ever since then. And that is it. Now, the text of the 12th Amendment that changes this, this is the important portion of it. The president of the Senate shall, in the presence of the Senate and House of Representatives, open all the certificates, and the votes shall then be counted. That's the power vested in the Constitution to the president of the Senate. Open all the certificates. That's it. Now, these idiots will talk about a event that happened in 1961 when Richard Nixon, then vice president, was certifying his defeat at the hands of John F. Kennedy for the presidency. What had happened here was Hawaii had originally gone to Nixon, but in a recount, it had gone to Kennedy. And there was a kind of a brouhaha going on about all of this. And Nixon stated, look, if I got consent to do this, I'm just going to give JFK the electoral votes of Hawaii. Are we cool? And back then, the certification of the Electoral College was very boring. It wasn't a cause for riots and rebellion and an attempt to overthrow the government. So the House and the Senate were like, yeah, whatever you want. Yeah, whatever you want, Dick. I got a tea time at 3 o'clock. Let's speed this up. Let's move this along. And so that's what happened. And people looked at that and said, oh, look, the vice president has powers. They can do crazy things. No, they can't. Nixon did not have any power to do that. If anyone had objected to him doing that, there would have been a kerfluffle, and Hawaii's meaningless electoral votes would have been put in abeyance. We'd have had a big fight over them, and someone would have got them, and someone wouldn't have. But Kennedy had won in an electoral landslide. It didn't matter. So that's what happened. But that's it. That is all the vice president, who's the president of the Senate, can do. And that's why any January 6th conspiracy theory that states that the bad guys were trying to mess with the certification is ridiculous, because they'd already won. They had already won. And speaking of that, notice how our press really doesn't care about January 6th. Our press was like, you know that guy that sent an armed mob into the Capitol to kill his vice president and any member of Congress or the Senate that they happened to get in their way? And this lady got shot because she was trying to break down. She was jumping through the window of a door that had been broken open in order to try to get at those Congress people and those senators and the vice president to kill them so that Donald Trump could maintain his power over America. And no big deal. Trump promising to pardon all the January 6th people that did this. Whatever. People beat the shit out of cops all the time. You pardon them. That's just life. Whatever. Who cares? Call the media out for that. Yell at them. Be like, hey, this guy said he was going to do this terrible thing. And did any of you say that it was a real problem? Nope. You just said, oh, that wacky Trump. Oh, he's going to pardon the people that violently tried to enforce his will on America and kill our elected representatives. Oh, that scamp. Oh, that kidder. Oh, what a wacky dude that Donald Trump is. Ah, oh, he's just so crazy. He's just a rascal with a heart of gold. Our media likes to portray this man as being something other than what he is. Because I'm a wrestling fan, Donald Trump is Eddie Guerrero in the eyes of the media. He is this swindling, cheating, scamming con artist who will use every trick in the book, but you just can't bring yourself to hate him because he's just got such a winning smile and he's got charm and he's just such a cool dude. You hate yourself for liking him, but you do anyways. That's just the way it is. That rapscallion, that absolute crazy dude, Donald Trump. You just gotta help. You can't help yourself. You gotta tip your cap to him. And that's the media's mentality about this guy. And the media's mentality about this guy's mental health and physical health is insane. It's terrible. This dude is dying in front of us. And the media does not care. And going into the 2024 election, while Biden was the candidate, literally all the media talked about was how Joe Biden is old. He stumbles over his words. We can't trust this guy. This guy's going to drop dead any minute now. He's too old. He can't handle the burden of the presidency. We got to get this guy out of here. And then Biden dropped out because the attacks on his age and his health were so devastating that the American people had lost faith in him. They had given up on him. They had thrown in the towel. He had a horrible debate performance against Trump, which showed he can't hack it anymore, so we got to get rid of this guy. And we did. And suddenly, mental acuity, physical health, the age of the candidate, all of that went away. It all went away very quickly when suddenly the Democrats were running. Kamala Harris is in her 60s, so she's kind of old, but presidents are usually around that age. We have presidents around that age all the time. And that was the thing, is that suddenly Kamala Harris being a median-aged presidential candidate meant we couldn't talk about 79-year-old Donald Trump. I mean, he was 78 at the time, but old. Dude's old. Dude's really old. And also, the guy talks about passing cognitive tests, talked about it in 2020. Guess what? Cognitive ability does not improve with time. It gets worse. And the media suddenly decided that we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about it. When Donald Trump glitched out on stage for 40 minutes, 2 weeks before the election, which should have been a crippling October surprise, media did not care about it. Jeffrey Moran, I believe that's his name, ABC News, talked about it and said, you know, Donald Trump was just doing some great crowd work, hanging out with people. Only people that thought this was weird are evil Democrat partisans who are just trying to, like, just talk shit. They're just trying to get people riled up about Trump's fragility, which is, in my book, that's dirty pool, Bob. That's unacceptable. You can't do that because it's wrong. Donald Trump wasn't crashing out on stage. Donald Trump didn't glitch and just freeze. He's not really old and really senile. No, you're wrong. And again, this isn't Fox. This isn't Newsmax. This isn't InfoWars. This isn't Rogan. This is ABC News. The mainstream media had an incident. If that happened with Joe Biden, they'd be like, look, he's going to be out of office in a couple months anyways. Kamala needs a 25th Amendment him right now. Right now, he needs to be removed from power immediately. America cannot sustain this. We as a nation are less. We are lesser as a nation and a republic with this senile codger running things because he's cooked. That's where we would have been had he been the candidate that glitched out like that. But Trump glitches out. Don't talk about it. Do not talk about it. If you talk about it, you're a partisan left-wing shill, and you hate America, basically, is the motto of that. That's the mentality they're trying to get across to you, is that it is unacceptable to attack Trump for the same things we've been attacking Biden for all this time. And with Trump, they're way more true, because Biden's lucid, and people get so mad about this. People are like, no, Biden had dementia. He was falling apart. You're fucking covering for him. You full of shit. Yeah, Biden speaks slowly. Biden takes a little time to get the old brain processing, but he knows what's going on. He understands it. He gets it. Trump doesn't. Trump absolutely does not. He's completely gone. He's completely cooked. And even if I'm wrong and Biden was senile, guess what? He wasn't running for president. He got in 2020. He dropped out. He was wrong to run. Yeah, whatever. Water under the bridge. We had our chance. We blew it. So, yeah, great. But this is the thing, is that you need to change the paradigm entirely, and you need to go straight at the media for their absolute normalization and tolerance of Trump. And when the media is like, no, we didn't do that. No, you're lying. Call them out. Call them out. Call them out. Attack, attack, attack. Attack them directly. Because it's important. Because the American people don't want to admit they fucked this up. And it's bad to do that. It is bad policy to say, yo, voters of America, the people whose votes I need right now to win office, you're stupid. You fucked up the last election. You need to fucking up your game and figure out what's going on now, you stupid fucks. That's repellent. That is mean. That is shitty. That's a horrible way to handle this. You've got to give them a scapegoat. You've got to explain how they were misled, how they were led to the wrong answer, how they were tricked, how they were manipulated. And the easiest way to do that is to say, look, guys, I think that you wanted to do right, but those meanies in the press, they flim-flammed you. They hornswoggled you. They hit you with the old razzle-dazzle. And you blame them. You blame Rogan. You blame all these people. You blame ABC, CBS, NBC, everyone, everyone, everyone. Rachel Maddow, maybe she gets a pass, but that's about it. That's about it. There's really no liberals out there. You attack. You attack them directly. You put them on the back foot. And they will react by saying, well, we got to be doing something right because everyone's mad at us. No. You attack them until they either report in a coherent way or they're totally discredited by everybody. All sides must discredit the press, period. Until they get their act together, no mercy. And you do have to play their game in the sense you do have to give them access, but you give them access to yell at them. You give them access to say, look, you people suck and you need to be better about that sucking because it's really getting to be a problem with you. So, yeah, that's it. That's really where I'm at right now. I know this is only a 25-minute pod or whatever, but just getting this off my chest. I'm probably going to do more of these. I'm going to talk a bit about like how I think democratic politics needs to work, how the Democratic Party should be advancing itself and working towards actually winning elections. I mean, I think they're going to have a big help from the Republicans destroying everything soon, but we'll see. We'll see how it all goes, and probably have a regular normal pod next week, and then I might add one of these on top of that, hopefully. So thanks for all for listening. Patreon.com/pokerpolitics. Send me some money. We had a couple people rejoin. Amanda Scatland came back. Much appreciate to her. And someone else came back with a $2 donation, and I literally came back here and hit record and started going and forgot to look that up. So apologies to you. You know who you are. We will get you next time. I'm very sorry for my lack of professionalism. 5-star review and all that good stuff on your media of choice that you listen to, with your platforms of choice. Thanks to DJ Minimal Effort and Frosty for the bumps and the music that I accidentally remixed. Thanks to you all for listening to this, and never forget that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone in the assassination of President Kennedy.